I join in welcoming the visitors with us. So good to have you here. I want you to know that whatever is presented in this lesson by me, I require scrutiny in connection with that, so that God's word is presented, not the thoughts of man, but His truth is presented in this. If you hear or see anything, not only in this lesson, but what we are doing here this day that you believe is not in accordance with God's will, I ask that you will let me know, let us discuss those things, let us turn to God's word and come to an understanding. There is truth, of course, in God's word. I also want to express the joy that we have in this congregation because of the baptism that took place yesterday. One's name now has been named before God, Lynn Miller. And she is a child of His. And it is a wonderful event that took place, and we are so happy to have her in our fellowship. I want to ask you, how do you view Jesus? I know He's not here upon the earth, but I'm talking the way that you think about Jesus. You know, we look back, and with the Jews, they saw Jesus, or actually the Messiah, as one that would be coming in power and strength with a great army, riding on a steed, ready to destroy. And go back to Isaiah, the 44th chapter, and verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Beside me there is no God. And with that thought there, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, has that thought of armies. And they would go to Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, and they would look at verses 1 and 4. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles, to the unbelievers, the infidels, the heathen, the dogs. He will correct them. He will defeat them. We will be free. Verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. And judgment, of course, on their side, because they are children of God. That was the view that they had. This Messiah that was coming was a warrior king that they were expecting. We think about how Jesus is viewed today by some. And we have pictures, of course, that depict a effeminate male, lily white, can't be of any color whatsoever because that's not purity. And they turn to verses such as Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 29, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. And those that look at Jesus this way, without strength, being weak rather than meek, do not really understand Christ Jesus. When we look back in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 21, 16th chapter, verse 21, after Peter makes the good confession, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And just a few short minutes after that, we have in the record where Jesus says that I will go and I will suffer before the Jews. And I will be put to death and I will rise again the third day. And then this Jesus, the meek, the lowly Jesus, says to him, get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense. For you savor not the things that are of God, but the things that be of men. And I believe that the way that the world looks at Jesus just in this light, really with the feminine aspect and not with strength and not with the truth that is being stood for by Christ throughout his life and now as he upholds it with his word while he's in heaven, is a misunderstanding. And then we see those that look at Jesus as a rock star, so to speak. And they point to Matthew, the 14th chapter, verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Multitudes followed him often. People look at that today. Well, there he is. That's Jesus, the rock star. And they forget about John, the 6th chapter, verses 25 and following. After Jesus had fed the 5,000, beginning in verse 1 of John, the 6th chapter, he goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and these people that he had fed follow him. And they said, Master, where have you gone? I'm glad we have found you. And he says, you've not come but to get your bellies filled. You've not come to hear the true bread of life. There's not a rock star that would do that today. Turn away the crowds with the truth. But they would heap upon themselves, of course, the fame and glory, which was rightfully his, but yet he was viewed by many today as one that is all sufficient for glory and fame, and that he was a leader of a movement rather than the true king. And then we have those today that possibly have something, I think, that may be correct. They see Jesus based upon the area that he came from, based upon his physical heritage, looking more like the Middle Eastern man that is depicted here in this particular picture. We don't know what Jesus looked like, but we do know this, as it says in Isaiah 53 and verse 2, for he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we might look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. And whatever it was that he looked like, it wasn't about his looks. That wasn't the point. It was about what he was that he was teaching. But I ask the question now, how does the Bible depict Jesus? We have the thoughts of men. We have the thoughts of Jews 2,000 years ago. Some even today, very few. We have those in the world that see this effeminate male, call him Jesus with the pictures that they depict. They see the rock star Jesus. They see the Middle Eastern man, which may be more accurate. We just don't know. But how does the Bible depict Jesus? I want to go back to our reading this morning. Look at Revelation 5, verse 5 through 9. And this, of course, is a scene. It doesn't matter about the background necessarily of this, other than there is pointing to Christ Jesus. That's the main point that is being presented here in Revelation 5, 5 through 9. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. John writing this, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll, to loose its seven seals. And I look, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain. And the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. We see a presentation here that is in connection with Christ Jesus, but not a one-sided presentation. We see him depicted here as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We also see him here as the Lamb that was slain. We see two aspects of Jesus that is presented by God's Word that we need to take note of, that we need to appreciate, that we need to look to. And Jesus is both, and we look to him as both. When we think about this in Revelation 5, behold the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse. We go back to Genesis, the 49th chapter, verses 8 through 12. Israel is about to die. Jacob is about to die. And he calls all of his sons in, and he gives each one of them not necessarily a blessing, but a foretelling of their prosperity or their demise. And he says in 49, 8 through 12 concerning Judah, because Christ came, Jesus came, as a man in the physical sense of the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse. Says, Judah, you are, and this is again Jacob speaking to Judah, you are he whom your brothers will praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. Binding his donkey to the vine, his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk. This is not a foretelling of Judah, the man himself, the son of Jacob. But this is messianic in nature in connection with who would come forth from the root of Jesse, from that tribe. And that was Christ Jesus. And he makes that depiction here. He is a lion's whelp. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? And he bows down, he lies down as a lion. That is in rule, in his kingdom, being the king. And that foretelling is made here concerning Christ Jesus, the one that we know as Jesus, that Christ that came for us. In Amos the 3rd chapter, verse 7 and 8, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to the servants and prophets. A lion has roared, who will fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Deity is as the lion ruling. Because he has a kingdom, he has a rule. In which he roars forth, and we hear that roaring and we recognize that it is the sound of the power that is inherent within deity, inherent within Christ. And I will tell you that I believe that that roaring forth is there speaking of the truth that is taught through God's word. In a world where truth is vague and rare, and truth is blasphemed, there is truth that is brought forth by Christ Jesus because he has roared it forth in the words that he has left us, giving forth his command, showing forth his power, his majesty. And I believe that's what Amos the 3rd chapter is speaking of. In Revelation 1 verses 13 through 16 it says here, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded with chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet like fine brass, as is refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. That is that power. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And here we have before the instructions that were given by Christ Jesus to seven churches. A description of the one who would be speaking to them. John was writing down the words that Jesus spoke to those seven churches of Asia. And let us not think that it was just to the seven churches of Asia that Jesus spoke, because every one of those seven congregations, we could be part of that aspect, depending upon how we look to Jesus, how we view Jesus. He says in Revelation 2 and verse 1 to Ephesus, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlestick, you are in my rule, you are in my determination concerning fellowship, you are either with me, and as he goes on, you will be against me. And he presents himself in this aspect like a lion in power and in strength. And we see that. Then we look over to the church as it is addressed at Pergamos. These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword, that truth that goes forth out of the mouth, that cuts to and fro, that cuts down to the joints and marrows and the thoughts and intents of the heart, as we see in Hebrews the 4th chapter. That Jesus, who is speaking forth those truths, is the lion as he speaks here. In Revelation 2 and verse 18, as he writes to Thyatira, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass, to stamp out the ones that are disobedient. And the eyes a flame of fire that will cremate those that are against his will. Again, the power and authority of the lion that is being shown forth here. The lion that would be called the lion of the tribe of Judah in Revelation 5. We see in Revelation 3 and verse 1 to the church of Sardis, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And he pulls no punches with them. You have a name. You call yourselves Christians. You call yourself as a collective part of me. You have that name, but that's all that you have, he says to them. And he corrects them, of course, in connection with their injustice toward him, their lack of obedience toward him. We see in Revelation 3 and verse 14 to the church of Laodicea, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true, the beginning of the creation of God. And he goes on to tell them, you say that you have need of nothing and do not even recognize that you are poor, miserable, blind, and naked. And he tells them the truth. I tell you, you buy eye salve from me. You buy the white raiment from me so that you can be clothed and be pleasing unto God, to be pleasing unto me, so that your fellowship is with me. This is the Lion that is speaking. And He spoke to these churches 2,000 years ago and speaks to churches today. As they conduct themselves and as individuals conduct ourselves, either in accordance with God's will, in accordance with the King when He speaks, that Lion of Judah that speaks forth, do we follow His will? Are we in His kingdom, part of His kingdom, under His rule? Or do we think that we know best? Do we deny the Lion of the tribe of Judah? He was a lion when one was needed. And we see that in His lifetime in John the 2nd chapter, verses 14 through 17. He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When He made a whip of cords, He drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, poured out the money, the changers' money, and overturned the tables. And He said to those who sold dove, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. There was the actions of the Lion of Judah. This was at the beginning of Christ's work here upon this earth. And before He went to the cross, He did the cleansing of the temple once more in Matthew the 21st chapter, verses 12 and following. You have turned the house of the Lord, my Father's house, into a den of thieves. And that's the Lion that is speaking out. It's the Lion that needs to be heard today when people gather together and they come together for reasons other than truth. They're reasons other than worshiping God in spirit and truth. When they come together and they look at it from the social aspect rather than what God requires in connection with obedience unto Him. He comes before individuals that begin to read the writings of men rather than the truth that is in God's Word, and take upon themselves that which is a defilement rather than listening to what God says. He's a lion in connection with that. Because He says in John 12, chapter verse 48, you will be judged by my words. You will be judged by my words. Matthew 23, verse 2 and following, again, He was a lion. The scribes and Pharisees said in Moses' seat, do all that they bid you to do. Observe those sayings and do according to their, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. All their works are due to be seen of men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogues. They love the greetings in the marketplaces to be called Rabbi, Rabbi, Teacher, Teacher, Master, Master. Titles. But do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on the earth your father as far as a religious title is concerned, for one is your Father. He is in heaven. Do not call anyone on the earth. Do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then over and over and over again in this chapter, Jesus then addresses the scribes, the Pharisees, and says, you hypocrites, you love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You take glory unto yourself rather than giving glory to God. You love the titles that you place upon yourself rather than looking at the one true and living God, the I Am of heaven, the majesty on high. He was a lion when a lion was needed. But He was also a lamb. And we need not forget about that aspect of our Savior. He was a lion when needed, but also a lamb when needed. When we look in Revelation 5 and verse 6, a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God sent out on all the earth. And we look at this, and now there is this aspect of sacrifice that is brought before us. We look back at the Mosaic Law, And in the sacrifices that were presented, a lamb, a goat, both were equal as far as an appropriate sacrifice for sin. And we have this aspect of Jesus that is presented to us here in Hebrews the 10th chapter and verse 5, the very purpose of the coming of the Christ was for Him to be the sacrifice. In Hebrews 10 and verse 5, therefore when He comes into the world, He says, sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body you have prepared me. That's a quote from the 40th Psalm in verse 6. He understood and lived His life for the very purpose of dying. Not that man had power to kill Him, but rather, as He said, I lay down my life. You cannot take it from me. I give myself. He viewed Himself as the sacrificial lamb. He is that King, but He is also that sacrifice that is made for us. We see in Isaiah 42, 1 through 4, where we look at, He will not fail. And He did not fail in being a sacrifice for the sins of all that would come to Him. And lamb was needed. When we look back at the times in which Jesus lived, we see several different of the feasts that the Jews attended while Jesus was alive. We see the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which included the Passover. We even see the dedication feast of the temple, which was not commanded by God, but which was a tradition for them, and Jesus attended that. But one He never intended, and one that was not kept at that time, the Day of Atonement, because there was no forgiveness for them. In order for there to be true forgiveness, there had to be this lamb that came that was slain for not only them, but for us. In Isaiah 53 and verse 7, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before His shearer is silent. He opened not His mouth. How does absolute innocence, how does absolute sinlessness make a case for innocence when there is absolute purity? He did not say one word before Pilate, before the Sanhedrin, before Herod in His defense, because how do you defend absolute perfection? There was no way. And there was no reason, because He was giving Himself as the sacrifice. In 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 21, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God and not in things that are of this world, and not in things that are carnal, and not in the wisdom of man, and not what we think is best, but rather what God has to say. And this Son that was sent, the Son that was sent, was that sacrifice for us so that we would look to God. In John the 10th chapter, verse 17 and 18, for this reason my Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down from myself. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. I received this commandment from my Father. He was humble. He was meek. He was anything but weak. And He knew He had the power. And whenever Peter pulled that sword and struck off the ear of the high priest's servant, Jesus said to Peter, put that sword up. Do you not know that I could right now call 12 legions of angels and this would not happen to me? And I will use a quote that He uses as He entered into Jerusalem, back in John the 12th chapter, I came for this hour. I came for this. This is my purpose. Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But no, He came to do His will. Christ presented it to us as a lion, and for us to be lions when we need to be lions. Two aspects of Jesus that are not appreciated, the lion and the lamb. People want one or the other. And Christ Jesus is both. And then two aspects of Christians, because of the example that are left, are not tolerated by people today. They just want to view the aspect of Jesus as Lamb and then amplify or pass upon his followers just as the effeminate spiritually, without strength, being weak rather than meek. But we need to be a lion for the Lord whenever it is called for. When teachings and actions are questioned, the reply, why are you a troubler? Why are you a troubler? We look back in 1 Kings 18, chapter verse 17 through 19. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And the reason that Elijah was called a troubler of Israel is that he stood in strength and gave forth God's word to Abraham and to the people. And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ashereth who eat at Jezebel's table. Gather them all together," and we remember the events that took place after that. And one of the saddest scriptures that we have is in 1 Kings 18, chapter and verse 21. "How long halt you between two opinions?" says Elijah. "If Baal is God, then serve him. If God is God, then serve him." And here is the saddest words, I believe, a people that had been brought out by Israel, by the power of God out of Egypt, had been given a land by the strong hand of God. And do you know what those people said at that time? Elijah said, "If Baal is God, serve him. If God is God, then serve him." Do you know what they said? And they answered him not a word. How sad. Israel, the people of God, would not acknowledge their God. You see, the follower of God this day was a lion. And after showing forth God, wherever that test ended, and God, of course, lapped up the sacrifice and the water that was in the trenches and took it up and showed and proved to all that was there, including the prophets of Baal and including the prophets of Asheroth, proved that God was God. Elijah took those 450 prophets and the others and killed them. God is God. And the lion stood that day following his king and did what was right in the sight of God in so doing. Stand. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Stand as one that is ready. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. No backing down when there is the truth. We look at 2 Corinthians 13 chapter and verse 8. We can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. And we can either stand in that or else we can compromise the truth by our actions. But again, the truth is not compromised whatsoever. We can do nothing against the truth. We need to stand in it. We are to convince and to convict others. We see in Titus 1 verses 9 through 11, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. Recently been in studies with an individual that went under the water when they were 13 years old. Actually, they went under three times in this denomination that they were in. And at the first meeting, they felt as though they had done the Lord's will. We went to God's Word and we looked at this. And we could have said, you know, you're okay. You're all right. You went under the water and that's all that God expects. But we stood for the truth that is presented. That baptism is not because of salvation. Baptism is for salvation. And the truth was taught. And thanks be to God for that wonderful soul that received the truth. She's here today. Thanks to that wonderful soul that now has her name recognized by God in heaven because she obeyed the truth. Because the truth was stood for. And that which is not truth is to be exposed. Ephesians 5, verse 10 through 13, finding out what's acceptable to the Lord. That is a command that is for us. What God would have us to do is revealed to us. It's not a secret thing. It's given to us to know what God would have us to do. And we go on with the reading, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And unfortunately, there are brethren that are seeking ways in order to expand fellowship where God has not, to take others in that are not standing for the truth. And we need to be lions following our leader, the Lion of Judah, in exposing that which is not truth. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Rather expose these things. That's just standing. That is standing for the truth that is presented by the Lion of Judah. Christ presented us as a lamb for us to be lambs. Be benign is the cry, but that is not being a lamb for the Lord. 2 Timothy 2, verses 23 through 26. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, not turning your back and saying, well, we're just going to agree to disagree. No, there is truth. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will, as the lambs of God. We don't enter into futile arguments, foolishness, but with humility we just present God's word. We are harmless, and we are to be so. Matthew 10, verse 10, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Our intent is not to destroy people, but rather to save them as lambs of God that follow in the flock that Jesus is leading. Matthew 5, 38 through 42, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, don't resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other also to him. If anyone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. And that's being lambs of God, where we have that meek attitude, not weak, but meek attitude. I have the interest of your soul in mind. And if you reject it, I will understand, as Samuel came to understand in 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, when Israel rejected God as their king. Samuel became upset. And God said to Samuel, they have not rejected you, they've rejected me. Jesus is both the Lion and the Lamb. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 through 25, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You think about the strength of Jesus, even in sacrifice. And you think about the Lion of the aspect of Jesus, even in sacrifice, knowing full well what was going to be taking place. Knowing that he was going to be scourged nigh even unto the point of death. Knowing that he would be spit upon, that we would be ridiculed, slapped in the face. Stood before an unjust God, an unjust judge, and then given over as one in weakness washes their hands. It was the Lion that went to the cross. It was the Lamb that died there. Will we follow his examples? Will God's men be men lions for God? 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 through 14. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all things be done with love. Let me tell you, our world is trying to take and make men effeminate and make women masculine. And men need to be men and be men for the Lord. They need to be that. There needs to be an aspect of danger whenever you're messing with a lion. One that will protect, one that will stand, one that will not back down and will fight when needed. And this world is trying to take that away from males in this world. And not only that, but will God's women be women? Lionesses for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11 and 12. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each one of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. It was not being addressed there in Corinth whatsoever. And now this woman's house writes to, and I believe it is with her approval, she writes to Paul and says, these things that are taking place here are not right, and they must be addressed. That was a woman standing for the cause of Christ Jesus. She was a lioness for the Lord. And women need to be that way today. I raised cattle for a while. Beverly and I did. And we had Brahmin cattle. The big ones with the humps. Do not mess with their babies. Do not do that. And I will tell you, those that are under the care and protection of true women of God, they are dangerous. Whenever there is danger that is presented to their own. And they need to be that way. Will we be lambs for the Lord? Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others, that we sacrifice ourselves in helping our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus and those that are in the world that need to hear the truth. We need to be lambs also. Giving ourselves up, giving our time up, giving our own concerns up for the teaching of the cause of Christ. You know, we think about this morning. And the world wants us to go a certain way. We are taught, whether we realize it or not, day by day from the networks on TV. We're taught day by day from Hollywood, if you watch the movies that come out of that ungodly place. We're taught day by day what is appropriate in this world. And it is exactly the opposite of what God's Word teaches and what God's will is. I ask you this morning, will you be a lion for the cause of Christ Jesus and follow the lion of the tribe of Judah in standing for the truth and not give in? Will you do that? And will you be a lamb? Will you be sacrificial in the giving of yourself so that others can benefit in the joy that is in being in the Lord? If you're not a child of God, will you this morning be baptized for the remission of your sins, realizing that Christ Jesus set an example for us, as we see in Romans the 6th chapter, verses 3 through 6, that like as Christ died upon the cross and was buried and then rose again the third day, those that would be Christians show forth in that same example a death putting away the old man of sin, being buried in baptism, and then rising to walk in newness of life, no longer sinners, but now children of God, and lions and lambs ready to do His will. If you are a child of God, have you tried to just take one aspect? Are you losing your identity as a Christian, as a true child of God? Do you just have the name? Or are you doing His will? We look to the Lamb as that example for us. Will you be a Lamb of God and give you up yourself? And come to the Lord if you have disobeyed Him. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.